Friday nights, always. This is how we do it. About our beloved legends. Pull up your chair. Let's chat legendary stuff. Marawa Sports Worldwide.
I think every time you would speak to a coach, they would tell you very short descriptive words when asking about this particular player. They would tell you that is very industrious, very, very versatile, full stop. But other coaches would tell you so much more. Now, those that are just a couple of words that some of the best coaches and fans have described this legend. And he was certainly an all-rounder. And I think we all enjoyed watching him play defensively as well as offensively, because you couldn't just pocket him as a defensive player. What he did offensively was also something mind-boggling. And I don't think that we appreciated him enough. But he certainly gave us goosebumps whenever he was on the pitch. I mean, be it for the Golden Arrows years, be it for the Mamelodi Sundowns years, Bidvest Wits, and a whole lot of others. A marvel to watch down the flanks. We managed to track him down here in the kingdom. He thought he'd run away from us, hey? But there's no such. I know that he's not a, you know, he's not big in terms of media and interviews. He keeps very quiet, pretty much to himself. Sianda Zwane Mangete, good to see you, man. Welcome.
Mangete, yabonga basekhaya. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Am I lying though? You're not one that's always there in the media. You kind of do the talking on the field.
Yeah, I do shy away from the media, mainly because vele umsebenzi wami ngangawenzela abantu, ngangawenzela ukukhipha abantu basekhaya kulesi simo lesi nami ngikhulele ngaphansi kwaso. So being in the media, it's one of those things that you never ask for, but because of what you do for a living, it kind of takes you to that space. But if the opportunity comes where I could hide, I took it with both hands.
Were you hiding because, and I know that it's a situation that maybe might be quite personal, it's a situation that I'll get to in a second, but being away from the media avoided what for you?
I mean, I am more of an introvert, and I'm a very private person. I also don't have a lot of friends, and so being there in that space, I know that sometimes they are also, we are role models, you know. And then there are those youngsters who are looking at us and what you do on and off the pitch. So sometimes you always want to be yourself, you know, all the time. So if you are always on the media, you must show people only the good things about yourself. And at the end of the day, as much as we do what we do for a living, we are human beings. There are certain things that you want to just do on your own, you know. Maybe one of the things that I will show is the love that I have for my kids. You know, I will post my kids, I'll post my family, because I never met my father. So I told myself that one day if I do, God gives me his grace to be a father, I will give them the best of me and I will show off, I'll do everything possible, because it's something that I never had. Mm. Yeah, so also my family, coming from where I'm coming from, I believe that I came from a family who had nothing for years. And when the time came, when God gave me his grace to say, I'm choosing you to try and change the situation at home. So when I could see that things are improving, I would also like umndeni wami, like, go paramise, because we really never had anything, man.
Sure.
Nothing, like nothing at all. From my uncles, we had nothing, like nothing. I remember my grandmother tried so hard to, because she was the sole breadwinner. Mm. She was a domestic worker. My grandmother would work from Monday until Saturday. She couldn't rest. The only day she could rest, I wouldn't say it's a rest, because she will go to church. When she come back from church, she will cook for all of us, and then the next day she had to go to work. Mm-hmm. So she built us houses, rooms made of wood. Mm. And then because my uncles were drinking and then were lighting candles. And then one day, something happened, and then all those wood houses, it was all burnt down. And then she tried again to make us rooms again that were made of mud. You know, if I talk about that woman, I get emotional because I could see her trying so hard to make sure that we're good. So, yeah, we never really had nothing. I'm the first person to drive a car.
In the bigger family?
Yes. I'm the first person to drive a car. I'm the first person who managed to even pay a baller. My uncles, they all died at home, all of them.
Oh, wow.
I'm the first person almost in everything to be able to change the situation at home to make the house to be decent, you know. Even the food that we, from my first salary that we ate, everybody, you could see the first day that I came back to from buying groceries, you could see the joy because we knew on Monday it was cabbage and putu. My grandmother would say, if you don't want to eat, it's up to you, but this is what we are eating. On Tuesday, it's potatoes and uputu. And on Wednesday, she used to make this curry, karama sausages and uputu.
Yeah, yes.
And then on Friday, uchepano ponchisi. And then on Saturday, she will try and make something, maybe a chutney and then one egg and bread. And then on Sunday, she will also try to make something, maybe mint or something like that.
Something with meat.
Yeah. But we never really had like anything. So the day I got to introduce them to cornflakes, cheese, all these things, you could see the excitement. You know, first time, like the first time at home, there was a takeaway. It was when I got a job. Wow. That is the only time they had the taste of Nando's.
Wow.
So I'm the one who God gave me so much grace that I'm the one who introduced these people to all of these things.
And that's a big responsibility, though, Sia, because, I mean, I can tell how emotional it still makes you. I mean, I go back. You've lost that grandmother. She's passed on. You never saw your father. At the same time, your mother died when you were just 12 years old. So already the foundation at that stage is a broken one. I don't know what made you, what kept you going besides Ukoko.
I think what kept me going, I don't think my grandmother would have wanted me to give up, you know. And another thing, playing football for me was therapeutic. Most people, they don't know that. It was more than being a career and also passion,
yes.
But it was therapeutic. That is why even when I was still playing, when we got off days, I would go into extra training because I didn't want to think about my childhood trauma, you know. Rob, I was the first person in the scene when my mom was stabbed and I was 12 years old. She just coughed once. It was like she was waiting for me to get there. When we're told that, hey, your mother's been stabbed, me and my grandmother, we rushed to the scene.
Mm.
When I got there, she coughed only once. And then she said to me, do not drink alcohol. Because where she was, my mother was drinking. Where she was, it was more of a clapping scene. But those days, it's called taverns.
Yes.
Yeah. So she just coughed once. And then, like, don't drink alcohol. And that was it. You know? So if I go to the pitch or if I can spend a day without doing anything, those things... They come back, you know. And also looking for my dad for years, not being able to trace him, not even to own a picture of him, not being able to get answers from my mother because she was no more, you know. And also to lose my grandmother when I was doing matric. And all of those things, they came back every time when I was doing nothing. So I would go to gym, I would run, I would do anything that will distract me, and something that can help me to escape all of that, you know. So the reality came when I retired.
Did you take her instruction? If she said don't drink alcohol, did you take her instruction?
Those who know me, I don't touch alcohol.
And it's because you know what can happen. You know the repercussions of what alcohol can do, because if it happened in the environment where your mom was then stabbed and she gave you that instruction as she was about to sadly pass.
Yeah. That is why, Rob, I don't clap. Yeah. I don't go clapping. Yeah. I don't drink alcohol because if I'm in that space, even when the team and Sundowns won the league, they took us to a clapping space.
Yeah.
I couldn't stay there. I was there for like 5 minutes. Then I went back to the hotel because everything just came. Just like came back.
Yeah.
You know, remember what your mom said. You know, all those things. Even my friends, when they were drinking, they were like, no, drink. Even when I tell people, what kind of a soccer player are you if you're not drinking? I'm saying, I can't tell everyone what happened. Yeah. I'm like, no, I just don't like alcohol. But I know what
reasons
happened.
Are.
Yeah.
So even when they say, okay, I mean, you were there, you won the league championship, you won the Telkom knockout at Sundowns, you even won something bigger, you won the star with them, you were CAF champions with Mamelodi Sundowns. In all of those situations, come champagne. I mean, there's celebratory moments. And knowing football players, don't they like almost want to force this thing down your throat and say, here's the champagne, here we're pouring, here we're celebrating, yeah. Have some.
One of my biggest strengths is that I'm my own man.
Yeah.
You know, I make my own decisions. Nobody can influence me to do something that I don't like. You know, if I've told you that I'm not going to do something, I make sure that I stand on my 10. I'm not going to do it because I know and I understand better why am I not doing it. But I can't be telling the whole world why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad and I'm grateful and I'm thankful, Sia, that you've reserved that moment to share with us here on the show. And I'm just looking at social media now and people are saying, oh, wow, they never knew that. They didn't know that story. And how brave of you to share that story. I celebrate you for that. I celebrate the fact that you as a man, as a father, as a leader. And I remember even back then there was an interview you did where you said something similar, that if a team goes and celebrates a victory like your Sundowns were doing at the time, your celebrations were very minimal because you wanted the biggest celebration in your life to be a celebration of having a wife and kids.
Yeah.
Am I lying about that?
No, you're not. You're not lying. The reason why I liked to be in that space is because I never got introduced to the space. I don't have a blueprint of that because my mother was married to the sister and to my younger sister and my younger brother. So they were staying in maybe 5 kilometers away from my grandmother's house. So my mother was not allowed to come to me because I was born out of wedlock. So my mother would steal moments to come and see me. Even when she came, she couldn't spend even 5 minutes. Like, how are you doing? I'm good. Okay, this is what I brought for you. And then she leaves. You understand? I never really had that. Wow. You know, that is why I tried to do that at a very, very young age. But unfortunately, it didn't happen because I was also still naive. And then at the time, I did not understand what was really it and then what was expected of me. As a husband, and then things didn't work out the way that I had planned, but I had tried. And as I said on the show, I'm still hopeful because I am a man who's got a lot of faith that it's still going to happen. But if it doesn't happen, then I guess it was not meant to be.
This is marriage now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got kids that you're proud of. How many kids do you have now?
I've got 4 of the best kids. I've got a very cute son, and then I've got 3 beautiful daughters that I love with all my heart.
Aha, okay. Please tell us their name.
Oh, my eldest daughter is Wandisa. And then the second born was also a girl.
Yeah.
Ziyanda. My son, Bayanda. And then also Bandisa, the last born. So, yeah.
Wow. I hope they're listening, man. Hey, from Ziyanda to Bayanda to Sianda. You can tell. Hey, this was all intentional, guys.
Hashtag MSW live on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.
Good evening, Robert. Good evening to the listeners. Yeah, you have a special guest there with you tonight, and he means a lot for me. He's like a son to me. And not only that, from his human side, he is such a brilliant player that I've ever come across. He was one of the most dedicated players and the most talented players. That right side, that driving right side, was unbelievable. He always, every day, gave his best and gave it all. And I really enjoyed to work with him. And I knew that he will go a long way in football. And as much as we sometimes chat, and obviously we miss his personality around sometimes, and his positiveness. And Giorgio, I hope to see you soon. And hope to all the best for you. Looking forward to see you, and for important one, the small ones, I have not seen them for long. Regards to your family, and looking forward to see you. Good evening to everyone.
Oh, Mushin Integral, man, coming through all the way from Turkey. Thanks, Mushin. Thank you very, very much indeed. Oh, what a tribute, eh? He has been like a father figure to you, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yo, I remember when he came to Golden Arrows, I was not playing. And then he called me aside, first training session, and then he asked me. He was looking at the previous matches, but he did not see me. But what he sees there in training, he does not believe, why am I not playing. And then I said what everybody say, every player normally says, which maybe it's not the right time. Maybe God was waiting for you to come to South Africa and give me the chance. And then in the very same week, he put me straight in the starting lineup. Yeah. I played each and every match. I gave everything for him. He was like a father to me. Same like Coach Mangoba. Those are the two coaches, and Coach Manda Ngazi, who really believed in my abilities. No matter what anybody could say, they will tell them that this is the player that we believe. He will work for the team, and then he will, with him in the team, the chances of us getting results are big. So I really, really admire him a lot. To hear him talk about me like this, I remember him telling me that if he came earlier in my career, he would have taken me overseas.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what he said.
Sure. And I believe him, though, because remember what he did with Jabupul?
Yes. Yes.
He did that, and he acted on his words, and Jabu was gone.
Yeah.
You know, and so many other players. I don't want to mention all of them, but all I'm saying is that I trust in Mushin. He's one of the most honest people I've ever come across in the world of football. Yeah. And you know, Witty, hey, in football, it's very difficult to find, you know, people that you can trust.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because he describes you as somebody who was one of the most dedicated. So he loved that about you. Said most consistent player, most talented player. And I guess Bafana Bafana would have been a home for you for much longer time.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What do you make of, you know, CEO as well as opportunities within Bafana Bafana?
I remember when I was still at Golden Arrows, coach tried to push for me to be in the national team. And then I think at the time was, I don't remember which coach was it, but it didn't happen. And then when I got to, no, it did happen later, on a later stage, when Coach Peter Masimane was playing for, was coaching Mamelodi Sundowns. I remember he came when we were playing against Ajax Cape Town, and then he said to me, I'm watching you, you know. That was before the match. And I went on to have a very good game, and then he called me to the next national team. And then we went to play. I'm a firm believer that everything happens at a time that God ordained, you know. So I believe that the time and the games that God gave me, it was what we're going to actually learn in Piloyam. Yeah.
All right. As I promised you, just keeping an eye while I'm chatting and while you are sending your WhatsApp voice notes, Usianda Zwane is my guest here tonight. I did promise you that I'll tell you in as much as I can, what is going on with the cricket. There's also the football all on at the same time. I'll give you a bit of a summary, though, if you were not watching. England, well, they need 164 to beat South Africa and also move to the verge of the semi-final. South Africa race now to 69 for no loss of 7 overs. But obviously England, they rallied pretty well, though, to limit them to 163 for 6. And Quinton de Kock again top scoring with 65. David Miller adding 43. Jofra Archer also took 3 wickets off 40 balls, and Joss Butler claiming a superb catch and run out. That run out was incredible accuracy. I just switched on the TV and I saw that. Kudos to him. But just a a few minutes ago, Kagiso Rabada does what KG does the most, has taken a wicket. So English right now, 18 for 1. They are chasing a target of 164. So all those updates, I'll keep you informed about that. So drama as well in the Euros. This is Poland taking on Austria. It's 1-1. It was Austria who scored first. That scored very early, 9th minute. Trona scored. Now Pitek making it 1-1 after 30 minutes. So that's how the football stands at the moment. So plenty of your tweets coming through. And I know comes up quite a lot. I want to pick up on that. Second.
Good evening, Mr. Rob. It's Wulfelang here, and good evening to the MSW Shelders, and good evening to the legend, our man, Tom Cole, Sanderson. Oh, man, congratulations on such an incredible career, man. It has been quite a while since I've seen you on the footballing side. Really, really hope that you're doing good. Really hope that you are very healthy, you're very strong. And hearing your story, I commend you for holding something that is as traumatic, if I were to use that word, witnessing the things that you've witnessed in the early stages of your life and realizing that football is keeping you at such a calm state of mind to help you forget about the traumas that you've experienced for such a very long time. We're seeing these young players, and unfortunately, there are those stories where someone's career was cut short because of bad decision that they've made. You as I don't know if I can say former footballer, because you have played some of your best football with some of the best teams, winning the big titles. What would your advice be to all the young standers out there? Maybe it could be someone like Urele Mofokeng. It could be someone like Shandre Campbell. It could be someone like Devin Titus. It could be someone like any of the youngsters that are, you know, rising and making a name for themselves, especially at the highest level, going through what you've went through throughout your life, throughout your career. What would your advice be to these youngsters? Because yes, we see the talent, but there has been cases, a lot of cases, that every single South African football lover knows where someone's career was cut short, not because they died somewhere, but because they've made bad decisions which have had huge repercussions and that have forced them to leave the game. What would your advice be to the young upcoming footballers out there? Great show as always. Thanks.
Hulufulang, thank you so much indeed. Hey, straightforward. What advice, man? There's so many kids, others, they don't play to their full potential, see their careers through till the end. Sia, what would you advise them?
First thing I will tell them is that they must put God first in everything that they do. Even when they are going to training, they must put God that they are going to train, they are going to football matches. They must communicate with God and tell them what they want Him to do for them. More than anything, I think the most important thing in South African football in general, if you cannot operate in the chaos, you will never be great. When I talk about chaos, I talk about women, I talk about clapping, I talk about smoke, and all these things that is always pazamisayo career yakho. I think if they can just look at their idol, or like Cristiano Ronaldo, for an example, you know, don't just look at him, just listen to what he says, because he speaks a lot about discipline. He speaks a lot about making everything around you to be a football. The way he takes care of himself, it says the body is your money. Understand? This is what you need to, body the right stuff. Also, don't just finish training with the whole team training. You know where you're lacking. Do extra training. God will only give you few years to play football. Give everything that you have. Kill all noise. Kill everything. Even if you can have a very good season, just tell yourself that this is nothing. I still have to go, because it's difficult for South African players to be consistent. One season a player gets play of the season is nowhere to be seen. You know why? It's complacency. And then everything that the fans think, because they are whispering, like you are the best. Your team was never win the league. It wasn't for you. All those things. They listen more to those things and then forget. You know, especially where we're coming from. Most of us, we come from nothing.
Yeah.
You understand? I think I always tell the small boys that Most of us, you listen to Bishop Jay and all the others for motivation. No, your motivation, where are you coming from?
Yes.
Your motivation is your mom who's working. You need to one day tell yourself that I want to retire my mom. I want my mom to sit at home. Motivation is that house that is made of mud, made of wood. That's your motivation. You need and catch your sister and to take the school. That's what should be the fuel to your car. You understand what I'm saying? And most importantly, you know, there is time for everything in life. Saying now I'm giving you this career, this is gonna be your bread and butter. What does it say to you? It says I must give everything that I have and even more if I have to this thing. I'm not allow anything to disturb me. I was the player. Was not that talented. Even everyone who knows, I was talented, but I was working at it.
Now, hard work part of your discipline.
Yeah.
So no one can take that away from you. I think we all saw that. We all witnessed, and I'm even seeing here on social media on X, they are saying Clemens is that, wow, what an incredibly touched story. What a resilient man. Thank you for sharing this story here. Utaba says, a very, very humble guy. My neighbor hassled me a damn. He is loved by everybody because of his down-to-earth personality. So definitely somebody who knows you.
Yeah.
He spotted you well there. Hey, a good neighbor, he says. Hey, yeah. I would love a neighbor that doesn't have throw any parties. Hey, neighbor, anytime, any day. Send us one of my guests tonight.
Hashtag MSW live on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Friday nights, always. This is how we do it. About our beloved legends. Pull up your chair. Let's chat legendary stuff for our sports worldwide.
Yeah, the target is 164, South Africa as well as England. It's England now who are chasing that total, sitting on 36 for the loss of one wicket. We've lost nothing here in studio, man. Believe me, we are gaining. That's the only thing we are doing is gaining. We are gaining in knowledge. We're gaining in our understanding of a gentleman that we've seen on the football field, giving us his best. And I think there is now sense to the madness, there is sense to the story, there is an ability for all of us to understand what it is that inspired him. But I don't think a lot of you were ready. I don't think I was ready for the depth of what he's been able to share with us here tonight. And that is why I, you know, even during the break, I was saying thank you very much indeed for choosing this platform to share a story that not ordinarily he would have shared anywhere else. And whoa, wow, such feedback as well. I'm probably not going to speak much right now because I'm looking at my screen. All I'm seeing are tributes. All I'm seeing are messages. All I'm seeing is just people showing their love as well as giving this man his flowers.
Good evening, Mr. Marawa. Ukuluma nosipongele nomkhwan. Good evening to Ubuntu Siyandazwane. Mr. Marawa, what a gentleman you got there. I think the last time I saw Ubuntu Siyanda was at the memorial service of Ubonga Ntuli. Mr. Marawa, what a gentleman. What a down-to-earth person. And I think Usianda is one of those players who took their career in a serious way, because we have seen some youngsters, when they got to the spotlight, they do some funny things, like he was telling you that he was not a fan of drinking. So many of the youngsters fall on that trap. So I just wish Ubuntu Siyanda everything of the best. And what I want to know from him is that what he is doing to make sure that he gives back to the youngsters in future, or he just retire and leave everything about football. Thank you.
All right, Sibongeleni, we'll get that question through to him.
Hi, Marawa. Mkhumbi kakhumalolo. Let me also greet Unjosho, Umangethe, Uphikela, Unsele. This conversation here today, ingithintile kakhulu. I don't have a question, Siyanda, engifuna ukubuza yona, because I think you did everything in the field of play. I just want to say that introduction that you gave us today is tindile, because you it's like ubukhuluma nami, because that's exactly where I come from. From nothing. But look at you ended up with Sundowns. People said when you signed for Sundowns, that was suicidal, that was the end of your career. But you went in there and commanded that right back position.
Sure. Maybe let me dip in here, though, because that Sundowns conversation is important. Also, what Tusibongiseni was asking earlier on, I mean, he describes you as a very down-to-earth person that we all know and we all appreciate. And he says now that we all understand that you've officially retired. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's been 4 years now.
4 years. But like, we never know. Maybe like boxers, people crawl back into the game. You never know. So you were just saying that what are you currently doing?
At this point, I'm venturing into a business that at this moment I'm cooking. I don't want to talk about it as yet because I might maybe spoil it.
Sure.
But also, I've been traveling a lot, trying to get youngsters in rural areas. I think I've got like 20 now, if I'm not mistaken, that I've seen and then spoke to them. The only problem that I have now is that financial muscle, because I was also thinking that I might take them to my house and shelter them, but financially I'm not going to be able to, because there are a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this, Rob, because someone somewhere somehow gave me an opportunity from nothing. So I'm giving back, also because the woman that raised me, she raised all of us. Ugogo wayengena umntwana, but she raised all of us. Njengengane zakhe wayengena ngane, even eshona washona engena umntwana. So why would I not, you know, give opportunities to abantwana abasafuna ukuthuthuka nokudlala ibhola? So I go to those areas. Labafana laba bafihlekile, I'm trying to give them an opportunity. For it's not about the riches, it's all about someone saying siyanda, thank you. It's about changing someone's life, you know. Mm. You can have all the cars, you can have big houses, but who have you helped?
Sure. And your foundation, is that still up and
running? Yeah, it is up and running. And also that one is mostly focuses on trying to, I normally visit homes where maybe they are surviving through pension.
Yeah.
I only target those. But also, some companies, it's difficult to reach them. I've only been helped by checkers. They helped me. I think I've had like 20, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
Where they send their food parcels. They don't give me money.
Yes.
I said, just make sure that these families, they have just a little bit that they can add from whatever that they are eating. I'm still looking for sponsorship in terms of that. I'm also still looking for sponsorship in terms of trying to help these boys, you know. So I'm in that space at the moment.
Well, see, let's help you, man. Let's help you where we can.
Please.
Let's open a couple of doors for you. I think you do a lot of these things from the bottom of your heart, not because you would want the media to be there and everything else. So, I mean, even your foundation, I mean, I remember you were saying that it was a foundation that was protecting and developing and providing essential care to girls.
Yes.
You know, so that was uppermost for you. Sure. Let's continue our conversation. Like I said, very little from me, more from you.
Good evening, Darops and Gumangetse, Umzalwan. What a player you have there. What a player you have there. I don't think we appreciated him the way we were supposed to, because he was very hardworking fullback, very talented, hardworking, with a lot of discipline. And he's got a moving story in terms of his upbringing as well as the background. And I think that's what pushes him. And this story, for me, it needs to go out to the young players out there to know that they can change their family's life through his talent. Just want to ask him this question. Does he still remember his first training session at Mamelodi Sundowns, where Coach Pitso Msimane has to stop the training because he had a problem with the boots, because he brought only one pair of boots, and then the stats were coming out and stuff like that. Does he still remember that story? Thank you. Sibonelo Ngcobuye.
Hey, Sibonelo, thank you so much indeed. From that, it sounds like it's a top story, that one, because he stopped training and he called everybody.
Yeah.
And he says, please tell these guys what you've just told me. Take it from there.
Yeah, Coach Peter called everybody and then he said, you know him. Hey, stop. Wait. Come, everyone, come. And then everybody came and then he said, I must repeat what I just told him. And then I said, Coach, I've lost 2 starts while we were training and then now I can't run properly. My ankle is hurting. Hey. His response was, you are no longer, I quote, you are no longer fighting for relegation. This is not Golden Arrows. Here, this is Mamelodi Sundowns. We are winning cups. You are a professional. You should always carry 2 boots all the time. If you were eating, if you were buying from Checkers, now you're going to be buying at Woolworths. You see the difference? I felt his presence from the very first day I got there. And mind you, we had very nice conversations when they were still like asking me to join the club. Very nice, very calm. Yeah. You felt that fatherly figure. You feel at home, even when bengakafiki nokufika endongeni eziyelo.
Yeah.
But on that first day,
he cooked you, boss.
Ah, he cooked.
Prarop, Rama here. Ramahlo Mphahlele, I just wanna take time to just speak about this legend of the game, Siyanda Zwane. You know, beyond the games and the trophies that he has won and everything he has achieved in his career, this man was just an inspiration to the whole team. And this man was just I've never came across a player like him, whereby he's so selfless. You know, he always demonstrated a great tenacity and sportsmanship. And he's always been one guy, if he's not at training, you would feel his absence because he's full of laughter and he always wanted to see people around him happy. You know, I remember at Sundowns, we were sharing a position and sometimes, you know, he would sit outside and I would play. But he never even one day showed me a long face. You know, he's always been cheerful. You know, this is for me like a human being with a lot of humility. And, you know, Sia, Rama, my brother, I wish you all the best. And I know you're still pushing even beyond your playing days. And, yeah, keep going, man. And hopefully I'll see you soon and all the best with your future endeavors. Thank you, Sia.
That made you smile.
Yeah, Ish Rama. Me and Ramahlo, I think, is one of those players who welcome me at Sundowns with open arms. And as he says, mind you, we're sharing the same position. But we're like brothers. Mm. You know, when he's playing, I'm cheering for him. When I'm playing, he's cheering for me. So we had that relationship that mostly other players did not understand. And this is why what other players do not understand. The person that you are competing with is not the enemy. You are all fighting for the same goal. You understand? And you need to try and learn. If he's the one that is playing before you, you need to try and see what is that is doing better than me and try and perfect that. So being in that team, I mean, I felt at home from the very first day. I also think also my personality, because when I got into the team, I was that guy for everyone. I don't think there's a player at Sundowns who can say I never like shared a room with him. I even slept with Tiko more than anyone.
And
most
you,
players.
And you admired that guy. I know in the past you've said that you admired what that guy was able to do with the football.
Yo, I don't think I'm gonna see a player like him. You know, there was a time in training I would just watch and be amazed and get goosebumps when he touches the ball. I remember when he was playing, he was in the opposite team. The team was not gonna play in the weekend. And Tiko was playing against Mhlopo Kekana and Sugar. And Sugar and Mhlopo, in those days, they were the ones that were playing.
Yeah.
And then we're doing a pressing drill. They said to me they must learn how to press the team that is going to play. And Tiko was in the team, in our team. The team was not going to start.
Yeah.
Hey, it teared Mhlopo and Sugar apart like nobody's business. He will tell you, pass me the ball, even when they are close to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing that he could do with the ball, I have never seen a player who does what Tico does. I have never seen a player. And apart from that, his personality, I think most people misunderstood that guy.
Yes, he for arrogance.
Yo. He was one of the greatest guys that I met at Sundown. As I say, I was sharing every game that you were playing. Mm. He chose me to sleep with, to share the room with him.
Because, I mean, there's one thing about Deco, and he knows this. I've told him, you know, even before his light shone and he became the superstar that he was, the potential that was there, you know, and he knows that I would deliberately call on him to say, hey, to come, let's have an interview. And people were wondering, why is he talking to this guy? What has he done? Until he started doing what he can do. And then they saw it and they said, yo, my goodness, look at him. Look at the talent. Look at
yo.
Hey, General Van. I know you're listening.
Good evening, Robert, and to your listeners. What an honor to get an opportunity to do just a small tribute on Siyanda Zwane. Some of us call him Ujojo. I normally call him Umangethe by his clan name, Isithakazelo sakhe. I got the pleasure of meeting him as an opposition because during the days when he played for Lamonvo Golden Arrows, and I still think he played his best football there. I know he went on to Sundowns. He was at Bidvest, but he formed part of that strong team, that Lamonvo Golden Arrows team that went on to even win the MTN 8 under Mangoba Mngethi. I remember the Durban derbies when I was obviously still working for AmaZulu, and we had to play Arrows. You know, that was a derby and a half. It was a nail-biting, you know, it was very exciting. And Siyanda formed part of that team, that Lamonvo Golden Arrows team. I think it had your Sangwenis, it had your Tom Mvuyile, it has your Tekhachos, it had your Pilani Shange. You know, he formed part of that generation that, you know, put Arrows on the mark, because you knew whenever you played Arrows, you'd play a team that had style, you know, that had a football style that was unique to our township football. Even when you look at how he played as a full back, or these days we call them wing back on the right.
I'm stopping this. I know there was still about a minute and 30 seconds of the tribute. I'm going to have to offer convince this man to do a part two with us. That's the only thing I can do, because there's an avalanche of messages which I am not even going to be able to touch because we are out of time. But I really would love to do a part two. But Upilani Mabasa, I thank you. I recognize you for doing and sending us that. I mean, this is a man. I go back to 2016, you know, winning the league with Pizzo. As it says, it was that record 71 points that they got, winning the Talcum knockout. This is a man who's been to the FIFA Club World Cup. I think his only trophy that he hasn't won is MTN 8.
I won with Golden
Arrows. But at Sundowns, no, you didn't win it.
Yeah.
You know, I still wanted to talk about the potential move that you had of almost going to Orlando Pirates. Hey, you almost went to Pirates. And I think the chair lady was like, yes, go there. And then Mangidi was like, no, come this side. You know, so there's still plenty more. I don't know. Would you agree to a part two? We'll settle the date at some point.
Yeah, no problem.
We can do it in Johannesburg. Yeah, we're right here in the kingdom right now. So I'm not going to say goodbye to you. All I'm going to say is thank you so much indeed, Baba. You're a superstar. You're a gentleman. And I appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hashtag MSW live on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.